Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.
Hi, Beth. Grandma, I just finished a book I found. It's The Life Story of Barbara Otis Bell by Bess Bell Cab. It is a wonderful book. I think you were 8, 9 years old, grade 3. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. I'm going to keep it out and show it to you. Okay, honey. I hope all is well. Bye-bye.
That was the late Bobby Bell, better known as Grandma Bobby, to the author of that wonderful book she's recommending, Bess Bell Kalb. Bess is an Emmy-nominated comedy writer who spent 8 years working on Jimmy Kimmel's late-night television show. She also wrote for the 68th Primetime Emmy Awards ceremony. Now Bess is out with her first book. It's called Nobody Will Tell You This But Me, a true, as told to me, story. In the best-selling memoir, Bess channels the voice of her beloved grandmother Bobby Bell in funny and poignant ways and shares her wisdom with the rest of the world. Bess joined us from her home to tell us the origin story behind her book.
I was tasked with delivering a eulogy at my Grandma Bobby's funeral, and I was at a complete loss for words. I didn't know what to write, how to properly eulogize the woman who meant so much to me. And so I decided to just do a riff on one of the voicemails that she left me. And I did that. I did it for my whole family. It killed. They were laughing. Some of them cried. And most of all, they recognized her voice and what I was doing. So I just kept doing that. I kept sort of extrapolating from conversations we had and voicemails she left me. I kept writing as her. And that was a way for me to feel close to her when she was gone.
Yeah. Was it difficult to chant her Grandma Bobby Bell's voice? Or did it just kind of come naturally to you?
You know, it was one of the easiest writing assignments I've ever had. It really did come naturally to me. She and I spoke so frequently during her life that I felt like I had almost downloaded her into me. I had the 10,000 hours of conversations that I could sort of auto-generate her at a moment's notice.
Yeah. So in the book, you go back 3 generations by having your grandmother talk about her mother, your great-grandmother. What can you tell us about Bobby's mother and how their relationship shaped Bobby's life?
Well, Bobby's mother, who I never met, she died long before I was born, was a larger-than-life character for me growing up. My grandma would constantly refer to her mother. And in researching her and in interviewing family members, what I pieced together was this woman was nothing short of a hero. She's an immigrant who escaped the shtetl and the Pale of Settlement in Belarus under Tsarist control when she was 12 years old. And she did that by herself, and she did that with nothing. And so this 12-year-old with ultimate chutzpah comes to America, illiterate, not speaking the language, and managed to raise 4 boys and a daughter in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. And she did it with a lot of grit, and she wasn't an especially affectionate mother. This is a woman who came from suffering, but she sacrificed everything for her children, and she taught my grandmother great lessons that I've certainly internalized, like, if you're having a rotten day, buy yourself an ice cream soda and a new hat. And that was Rose.
What did you learn about the relationship between your mother and your grandma while you were writing your book?
I interviewed my mom a lot for this book. She was sort of on the other end of the dispatch phone when I would need details filled in and fact-checking real just anecdotes from before I existed. And I learned that what I had initially assumed was this sort of black and white difference between my relationship with my grandmother and my mother's relationship with her mother. It was my grandma was a distant bad mother and a close good grandmother. And initially, the project of the book was to explore how love can skip a generation. And that was something that I think a lot of people can relate to, which is grandmothers who weren't necessarily present moms ended up being super attentive, doting grandparents. And what I found was much more complex than that. My grandmother deeply loved my mother, and my mother deeply loved her mother, even though their relationship was fraught and tense and full of rebellion and fights. I found that there were some big moments in my grandma's life with her daughter, where she was absolutely a hero. She bailed my mom out of a couple of situations that were in some ways life-ending, and she did that out of love.
Can you give an example of one of those situations?
Sure. There are sort of two big ones that come to mind. My mom was in a terrible secret first marriage, secret to me, that it was something that my grandma let slip on a car ride once. My mom was in this terrible first marriage. It was not going well. The guy was bad in every possible way. And my grandma showed up at my mom's door at their apartment in Riverdale in the middle of the night and drove my mom to the airport to get out of the country to get to her friend in Canada's house. And then she sort of took care of the rest. And she and my grandfather ended up handing the guy a check to walk away forever. And yeah, that was my grandma coming in the clutch for sure. She also was the one who got in the jump seat of an airplane next to the flight attendants and flew through the night to my mom's hospital room in France when she just had an inkling that something wasn't right with her daughter. She was absolutely right. My mom was was convalescent in a hospital with, I think it was spinal meningitis that had gone to her brainstem.
Wow.
And was told she would never walk again. My grandma got on a plane even when there were no seats and got to her bedside.
Yeah, and your mother obviously recovered from that, the spinal meningitis or whatever it was thing.
Yeah.
Fortunately, yeah. I think that there's one sentence in your book that really seems to sum up the relationship between you and your grandmother. It's this one: I raised you as my equal so I'd have a friend. Do you think it was this friendship that made your relationship so special?
I think so. I think there's this sort of distance that makes a relationship closer, that she wasn't my mother. She wasn't the person responsible for getting me into my winter jacket, you know, insisting that I eat my broccoli. She was somebody who could just sort of waltz in and have the fun times, a friend. And so with that sort of layer of removal from my everyday life, I felt like she and I just sort of got along without any of the tension that a parent-child relationship might be, you know, might be subjected to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that sums it up.
Yeah. Do you think that, did that ever cause jealousy on the part of your mother? Did your mother ever seem to kind of envy the relationship that her mother and you had?
I don't think so. I think she was so, I think there were parts of my relationship with my grandmother where my mom just sort of rolled her eyes and let us have our fun. You know, my grandma had this kid in a frilly dress going to shows and going to department stores. This was something my mother was not and is not interested in. So, you know, she was glad that my grandma was, you know, created this pet to take around on the town and indulge. But she also, she didn't want that for my grandmother. She was glad that we were both getting it out of our system with each other, I think.
Hmm. You have this great story about a voicemail that she left you after she read a story in the New York Times. You know which one I'm talking about? Can you share that with us?
Yes, I do. Yeah, that was something that there was always an agenda to what my grandma was leaving a voicemail about. It was never on its face exactly what you thought it was. And I think this one is a pretty good example of that. You can, if you read between the lines or just listen to what she's saying, this is not about a cat. This is about a baby. So voicemail, May 2016.
Yeah, hi, Bessie. It's Grandma. I'm reading the New York Times and I saw an article about cats. Are you sitting down? There's a toxin in their feces. It goes directly into your brain and it's apparently very dangerous. Anyway, they say it's bad for pregnancy. There are women in Brooklyn giving away their cats to shelters, which is very smart. I know you love the thing, but if you're handling owls' excrement and changing the litter box, you're risking all kinds of developmental problems. And who knows what? Your mother says you and Charlie aren't trying to have a baby yet, but you never know how these things go, and you don't want to screw yourself up in advance. Give away the cat. I'll mail you the article. You know what? I'll mail it to the cat.
And she did.
Yeah, she really did. You've got a photo of that. Yeah, that's so Grandma Bobby, isn't it? Yeah. Do you think Grandma Bobby's sense of humor influenced you to create your career as a comedian and comedy writer?
You know, my grandma always considered me a writer, even when that wasn't a way that I was able to pay the bills, when I took jobs as a fact checker or, you know, other jobs at magazines, just to be around writers and to be around writing. And she always encouraged me to write. And she always celebrated even the smallest paragraph long things that I published. She learned how to use a laptop because most of my writing early in my career was online. And she really encouraged me to do things that women weren't allowed to do. This is something that was a very common theme throughout our life together. She had a daughter who broke a gender barrier, being in the first class of women admitted to her college and then one of the first women in her psychiatric residencies at Columbia Presbyterian. She raised a feminist groundbreaking daughter, and then she saw this granddaughter who was about to relegate herself to a life of checking facts for mostly men's words and men's stories, and she just sort of said to me, "What would a man do?" And she said that to me after I expressed interest in being a comedy writer and living a different life. And so I had the gumption to do what I did and enter a man's world, enter a writer's room where there were only two other women out of 13 or 14 writers. And that was it, with my grandma's wind in my sails, for lack of a better metaphor. That really was with her sort of arms crossed, nodding her head, knowing, yes, this is exactly what you should be doing if it's what you want.
Mm-hmm. And what did she think of your work?
Oh, she loved it. There were, you know, she was so proud of it. She would stay up to watch. I wrote for Jimmy Kimmel Live for 8 years. She would stay up till 11:35 to watch the show. Even when I didn't have a sketch on it, she would try to pick out which were my jokes. She would often call and correctly identify which were my jokes in the monologue.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a particular piece of comedy that you have created that really shows Grandma Bobby's influence?
She shaped this book, and the book is her and in her voice. And it's also me being a comedy writer to the best of my ability. So, you know, what's so special about this is that this is something that I own. It's my voice. It's my name on it, which is something that I just haven't had for 8 years as the sort of behind-the-scenes person, gratefully and with great joy. But yeah, this is my grandma as my muse, as my comedy muse.
Grandma Bobby died in 2017. She was 90 years old. How did you find out she died?
I found out when I was in the car alone. I got a phone call from my mother, and it was a surreal and horrible moment. It was not an expected moment. She wasn't extremely sick. And I would talk frequently about her wanting to be there to meet my child, her wanting to be there to give my child hell. And that's not something she was ever able to do. And in that moment, that's what I was thinking of. I was thinking, not yet.
What is the most important life lesson that she taught you?
Most important life lesson is, if you're in a dressing room and you have to think about whether or not it looks good, it doesn't look good. I have a two-part answer to that.
Okay, yeah.
Life lessons.
Second part.
There's that one, and the second part is exactly what I think about now, which is when the earth is cracking behind your feet and you feel like the world is going to swallow you up, you put one foot in front of the other and you keep going forward. And that is those two life lessons. I don't know which one is more important. Are really indelible in my brain and my heart.
That's a good lesson to learn, yeah. What do you think Grandma Bobby would think of your book?
I think she would be glad that she has this megaphone now. I think, you know, my grandma loved to tell stories, and I think she'd be really heartened by the fact that everyone who's read the book now knows her stories. So I think she'd be glad that she got the last word. And yeah. I think she'd want to know who's going to play her in the movie.
Yeah. Any ideas?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. Great. Looking forward to both of those. Best call. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me. This was such a pleasure.
Bess Kolb is a comedy writer and the author of Nobody Will Tell You This But Me, a true as told to me story. Make sure you keep a lookout to see who does land the role of Grandma Bobby in Elizabeth Chomko's upcoming film adaptation. You can find out more about Bess at wpr.org/beta.
He's a pinnacle of, like, what happens when a Midwestern kid who's keenly intelligent and curious about the world and exploratory, what can happen when all of those things kind of come together and are given a shot.
Author Aaron Osman introduces us to the life and music of Midwestern singer-songwriter Jason Molina. That's coming up in just a moment. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.